From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas Libraries, advancing research, teaching, and learning at the intersection of people and ideas. Information on community resources and upcoming events at lib.ku.edu.
Lows in the upper 60s tonight. It's going to be humid tonight and again tomorrow. Tomorrow's high around 90 with a 40% chance of showers and storms.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City. We're always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Kansas Leadership Center with transformation grants, an opportunity for organizations to strengthen workforce engagement, communication, and problem-solving skills. Applications at kansasleadershipcenter.org/grants.
Stay tuned. We still have another 42 minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. At 6:30, we'll have an update of news headlines. Then we are going to hear from a former college president. This is not the best time, maybe, to be a college president, or at least it's a pretty difficult time to be one. We will also learn more about trends concerning voting, particularly among young black voters. We'll get you the latest from Puerto Rico on the damage caused by what was at the time Tropical Storm Ernesto. It's now Hurricane. All of that coming up on KPR. Stay tuned.
Support for KPR comes from the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Lawrence, supporting personal religious journeys, ethical living, and social justice in a diverse community. Details at uuclks.org or 785-842-3339.
Don't forget we have classical music coming up following All Things Considered this evening. We start things off at 7 o'clock with Classics Live. Then it's an hour of evening classical with Destiny. It's Tango Thursday. Don't want to miss that. If you're joining us on KPR2, up next we have KPR Presents at 7 o'clock, followed by The Middle with Jeremy Hobson. Humid conditions tonight, lows in the upper 60s, 40% chance of showers and storms tomorrow afternoon. Still humid, highs tomorrow around 90 degrees. It's 6:20.
We get answers on Harris's policy vision for her presidency, including her much-anticipated economic agenda. Tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
From 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations, you will hear Morning Edition, Friday version, with Michelle Martin, Leila Fadel, and Jay Schaefer.
Support for KPR comes from Woodhaven, Inc., manufacturing custom deck and siding solutions using sustainable woods and powered exclusively by wind energy. Located in Perry, with shipping available to the entire KPR listening area. Details at woodhavenproducts.com.
Stay tuned. News headlines are up next. 91 degrees in Lawrence, 91 in Topeka, 90 in Emporia. It is 6:30.
Beefed up emergency preparations, some residents headed for emergency shelters, and Prime Minister Fumio Kishida canceled a planned trip to Central Asia. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Seoul.
This is NPR News in Washington.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. A panel of Kansas lawmakers and the governor approved a settlement today for a former state employee who alleged discrimination based on their transgender identity. Zane Irwin has more.
William Dawes filed a discrimination claim against the Kansas Highway Patrol in January 2023. The lawsuit accused the agency of firing Dawes because of a gender transition. Attorneys for the Highway Patrol argued the agency terminated Dawes for failing to cooperate in a sexual misconduct investigation related to emails Dawes sent to a coworker. A district judge ruled that argument was not enough to dismiss the discrimination case. The State Finance Council, a small group of Kansas lawmakers, unanimously voted to approve a settlement, but didn't make the terms public. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Zane Irwin.
An official count of people experiencing homelessness in Kansas grew by 179 people this year compared to 2023. That's a nearly 7% increase. The Kansas Statewide Homeless Coalition report shows more than 2,800 people were homeless on a single night in January. The report counts both sheltered and unsheltered people. Rita Carr of United Community Services in Johnson County says a lack of affordable housing is driving the increase.
When you are thinking about people with lower incomes, then there are fewer and fewer options.
Carr says increases in rent are outpacing wage growth. She says communities need to consider investing in more affordable housing to support low-income residents. U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland was in Wichita today to meet with federal, state, and local law enforcement leaders. The meeting was part of a week-long tour for Garland, who is meeting with law enforcement officials in several states. While in Wichita, Garland highlighted a national and local trend of decreasing violent crime and local Department of Justice initiatives.
But we know that progress is uneven and that in many communities, violent crime has not fallen. We also know that there is no level of violent crime that is acceptable.
Garland also highlighted a recent federal grant from the Justice Department to the state of Kansas to establish more sexual assault services programs. Humid tonight with a low in the upper 60s, 40% chance of showers and storms tomorrow. Still humid, high around 90.
Support for NPR comes
today for a well-rounded start to your morning.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations for Morning Edition, a great way to start off your day with the latest information from around the world, around the nation, and around the region.
Support for KPR comes from Eagles Rest, a locally owned natural mattress and furniture store in Lawrence with heirloom quality furniture by Acornis, Copeland, Sisco Brothers, and Younger. Online at EaglesRestNaturalHome.com.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence as well. You can always listen online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Outdoors Unscripted Festival launch event, September 7th at Cider Gallery in Lawrence, kicking off a year of planning for an annual three-day celebration of Midwestern outdoor adventure. Tickets at outdoorsunscripted.org.
A little more All Things Considered still to come. Then at 7 o'clock tonight, join us on your KPR1 stations for Classics Live, followed by an hour of evening classical music with Destiny. It's Tango Thursday. We wait for it every week. If you're joining us on KPR2, stay tuned for KPR Presents, followed by The Middle with Jeremy Hobson. It's 91 degrees in Lawrence, 91 in Topeka. It's 10 minutes before 7.
His policy vision for her presidency. We discuss where the Democratic presidential nominee stands on key issues on the next Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. Stay tuned. Coming up next, we have Classics Live. It'll be followed by classical music for an hour with Destiny. It's Tango Thursday. We've got some Piazzolla lined up for you. Plenty of great music coming your way tonight on KPR.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on the Lawrence Community Orchestra, a local ensemble providing an experience where people of all backgrounds celebrate and share music together, encouraging pride in the Lawrence community. Details at lawrenceorchestra.org.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU, and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Farmers Market every Saturday morning from 7:30 to 11:30 at 824 New Hampshire Street, downtown Lawrence. April through November, rain or shine. Find Lawrence Farmers Market on Facebook for more information.
Quick reminder, we do have a program note for you coming up tomorrow night. It's the next BBC Proms concert. The Halle Orchestra and Choirs performing Gustav Mahler's Great Symphony No. 5. It gets underway at 7 o'clock tomorrow night on KPR1.
Welcome to another Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Cordelia Brown, and we are in the Polsky Theater of the Midwest Trust Center for the Performing Arts inside Johnson County Community College with a great all Beethoven recital from two professors of music at Washburn University in Topeka, violinist Jolt Ader and pianist Lucy Tan. Jolt will tell us a little bit about these two sonatas for violin and piano, which apparently go together like a set.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jolt Ader, and I'm joined by Lucy Tan here on stage. We are the Ader-Tan duo. We're just really excited to be here with you today to play some Beethoven. And if you look at the program, one of the things you'll notice, the two Beethoven sonatas are Opus 23 and Opus 24, and so they're really written around the same time, and they were, in fact, conceived by Beethoven to be a pair. They belong together, and so this is still the early period of Beethoven. He's writing things like his first set of string quartets, his first symphony just came out, and Opus 27 is going to be the Moonlight Sonata, so famous works like that. And so one of the things you'll notice about these two sonatas is that they're very different in mood, which is, I think, why they work really well together. So Opus 23, A minor, is very stormy, very turbulent. There's sort of a relentless rhythm and drive in it, especially in the outer two movements. The middle moving is a contrasting slow movement. But then in the Opus 24 Spring Sonata, the mood changes. It's very, very lyrical. Very cantabile, sort of very singing. And the F major sonata, Opus 24, has the nickname Spring, just because it's very sort of, it's very happy sounding, and he really wrote some great tunes in it. And so we hope you enjoy these two sonatas by Beethoven.
Thank you.
We've just heard two of the sonatas that Ludwig von Beethoven wrote for violin with piano. The fourth sonata in A minor from Opus 23, followed by the fifth sonata in F major, the Spring Sonata from Opus 24. It's a wonderful bridge from stern to joyous, interpreted for us just now by violinist Jolt Eder and pianist Lucy Tan. You may have heard Jolt Eder playing with his quartet, Kansas City's Opus 76 Quartet, or as the concertmaster of the Topeka Symphony. He also plays with New Ear Contemporary Ensemble, the Spire Chamber Ensemble, the K.C. Baroque Consortium, Ensemble Iberica, the Sunflower Music Festival, and the Kansas City Symphony. He's also professor of violin and viola at Washburn in Topeka. Pianist Dr. Lucy Tan is also on the music faculty at Washburn University, where she is the director of keyboard studies and teaches piano. After getting an early start in piano, she's now been able to play at Jordan Hall, Carnegie Hall, and the Lincoln Center. This all Beethoven program from Jolt and Lucy has been a Ruhl Joyce recital here at Johnson County Community College. Every fall and spring since 1989, Johnson County Community College offers this series as a free event for the public. Thanks for joining us for Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. Our engineer, Chuck Smith, recorded the concert, and I'm Cordelia Brown. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. by Samuel Coleridge Taylor. That was The Black Dance from his African Suite, played by the 2022 Sunflower Music Festival, directed by Andre Raphael. This has been Classics Live on Kansas Public Radio. Support for Classics Live on KPR comes from Topeka Zoo's Brew at the Zoo on Saturday, September 14th, featuring beer tastings, live music, games, food trucks, and animal encounters. Early bird tickets available now at topekazoo.org. And from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu. We are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas. That's KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV, KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Plus, you can listen through KansasPublicRadio.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. In a week where both presidential candidates are leaning into economic policy, former President Donald Trump held a press conference in New Jersey today, attacking Kamala Harris on the economy. NPR's Daniel Kurzleben has more.
Speaking at Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster, Trump started the press conference with around 40 minutes of remarks. During that, he listed what he sees as the biggest problems in the economy, particularly inflation, and blamed them on Harris and Joe Biden. Inflation has been one of Americans' biggest concerns during the Biden administration. However, presidents have only limited influence on inflation, which has a wide range of causes, like global affairs. Trump responded to questions about topics including Israel, campaign strategy, and last month's attempt on his life. At one point, he also insulted Kamala Harris's intelligence, which has become one of his most common lines in recent weeks. Danielle Kurzleben, NPR News.
For the first time, the more dangerous type of mpox has been found outside Africa, in Sweden. NPR's Gabriella Emanuel reports the discovery comes a day after the World Health Organization declared the virus a public health emergency of international concern.
When mpox, formerly known as monkeypox, swept the globe in 2022, it was the milder strain of the virus. The type that's currently alarming health officials is known to be more deadly, with around 4% of patients dying. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, this variant has been spreading widely and has recently evolved so that it evades tests and transmits in new ways, including sexually. It's this new strain that was found in one patient in Sweden. Health officials say the person had recently traveled to Africa and contracted the virus there. Gabriella Emanuel, NPR News.
Puerto Rico is cleaning up after tropical storm Ernesto wreaked havoc on the U.S. territory. Ernesto is now a hurricane heading north through the Atlantic. But in Puerto Rico, crews are just starting to restore power to roughly half the island's electric customers. NPR's Adrian Florido reports.
Compared to other recent storms to hit Puerto Rico, Ernesto was minor. Still, the storm flooded many communities, caused landslides that blocked roads, and toppled trees and power lines. More than 700,000 electric customers, half the island, were left in the dark. Crews have been going up in helicopters to assess damage to power lines and slowly working to bring the grid back online. Officials warned it could take days or more for everyone to get their power back. Across blacked-out communities, local mayors were scrambling to check on vulnerable residents, including the sick and elderly, because of an intense heat wave that has descended on the island. Adrian Florido, NPR News, San Juan, Puerto Rico.
The number of people filing first-time jobless claims came down last week. The Labor Department says initial claims for unemployment benefits fell by 7,000 to 227,000. On Wall Street, the Dow was up more than 500 points today. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, supporting creative people and effective institutions committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More info at macfound.org. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate, August 15th. 50 years ago this summer, astronomers Russell Hulse and Joseph Taylor went pulsar hunting. And they bagged a real trophy, a binary system that contained a pulsar and another dead star. The discovery and their later analysis of the system earned Hulse and Taylor the 1993 Nobel Prize in Physics. Both members of the binary are neutron stars, the crushed cores of once mighty stars. Each is about 1.4 times the mass of the Sun, but only about as big as Earth. One of the stars rotates rapidly, sending out pulses of energy at each turn like a cosmic lighthouse. That makes the star a pulsar. It spins about 17 times per second, but the timing changes ever so slightly as the stars orbit each other. The changes have revealed that the stars are spiraling closer together, by about 3 millimeters per orbit. The stars are getting closer because they're losing energy by producing ripples in space and time known as gravitational waves. They were predicted by Albert Einstein's theory of gravity, but the binary star system provided the first evidence that the waves actually exist. The two stars should slam together in a few hundred million years, producing a torrent of gravitational waves. In August of 2017, in fact, a gravitational wave observatory heard the merger of another pair of neutron stars. More confirmation that Einstein's theory of gravity was right. Our web address is stardate.org. For the University of Texas at Austin McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
George Gershwin's Summertime, played by the incomparable Yasha Heifetz on violin here on KPR. Hello. Happy Thursday. It's Tango Thursday, and boy, have I got some grand tango coming up at around 8:45. That was your hint. Thanks for being here with me. I'm your host, Destiny, and I'm a violinist, and I'm realizing right now that I've played quite a bit of violin this week. So violists, cellists, and bassists, I will make it up to you next week, I promise. Well, how did Columbus get here? He sailed the ocean blue on a boat. And if your old boat feels like an anchor around your wallet, our vehicle donation program is here for you. We'll take your donated vehicle and use it to fund the programmings you enjoy every day. Donate your boat, car, or motorcycle to kansaspublicradio.org. Composers got here too, in many other ways, like Dvorak. And in fact, he composed a symphony known as From the New World, Symphony No. 9. See the tie-in there? Yes, indeed. This is an epic symphony. I really hope you like it. It's with the Staatskapelle Dresden Orchestra right now on KPR. Thank you. Well, I did say it was epic. Woo! Here on KPR, Dvorak's Symphony No. 9 from the New World with the Staatskapelle Dresden Orchestra. Wow. I love that music. Oh, when I was in high school, I participated in making a homecoming float, and the Ork Dorks, as we were known, we rode around in our pickup truck with horses, fake horses, of course, taped to it and blasted the New World Symphony. We won. We only got a free pizza out of it, though. But back then, to kids, that was a pretty awesome thing. We are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas. We're 91.5 Lawrence and 91.3 Junction City. If you've been listening for a while, you've probably heard a few membership drives, and we know it's sometimes tough to take that first step in making a donation. You probably wonder if it really matters, and I'm here to tell you that it does. In fact, think of it like a cup of coffee, except we are more energizing, and if you donate that amount or more, well, you're ennobling the community because classical music is amazing. Your support combined with all KPR members makes amazing things happen. Join today at kansaspublicradio.org, and thank you. And now, it's Tango Thursday. What tango do I have for you? Well, I said it was grand. Guess what? It's Piazzolla's Le Grand Tango here on KPR with Emilio Colon on cello and Sung Hoon Mo on piano.
Thank you.
Piazzolla's Le Grand Tango here on KPR with Emilio Colon on cello and Sung Hoon Mo on piano. I am Destiny. Thank you so much for being here with me this evening and for this whole week. It's almost the weekend. NPR News is up next and then Jazz in the Night. I'll be back next week on KPR.
At NPR, it's our job to be skeptical.
So tell me, why is this not already happening?
And provide context to the day's headlines.
Where does this leave U.S. efforts to try to broker a ceasefire to end the war? Where does it stand?
This is independent reporting you can trust. This is NPR.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz, 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Info at greenladylounge.com. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find classical music and NPR news, Kansas Public Radio. We're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Become a KPR sponsor, and your business can harness the trust and credibility of public radio. 82% of listeners take action because of an announcement heard on NPR. Learn more at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. Biden administration officials are scrambling to get a peace plan across the finish line to end the war in Gaza. The U.S., Egypt, and Israel have been meeting in Doha. Back in May, President Biden outlined a step-by-step plan to end the war, and now his administration is counting on the talks to put that plan into action. More from NPR's Michelle Kellerman.
Well, they don't see any other way out, really. I mean, White House spokesman John Kirby says that Israel and Hamas have agreed on the framework of a deal that would start with a six-week ceasefire and include the release of some of the hostages Hamas has held since October 7th in exchange for Palestinian prisoners. Then the goal is to negotiate a permanent end of the war.
Health ministry officials in the Hamas-led enclave now say more than 40,000 Palestinians have died since the war that started after Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th. The Biden administration has unveiled new lower prices for 10 of the most popular drugs taken by Medicare beneficiaries. It is the first time the Medicare drug program has negotiated prices with drug makers in its nearly 20-year history. Here's NPR's Sydney Lupkin.
After months of negotiations, the Biden administration has revealed lower prices for drugs to treat a range of conditions, including diabetes, heart failure, and blood clots. The discounts range from 79% for diabetes drug Januvia to 38% for blood cancer drug Imbruvica. If the lower prices were in effect last year, Medicare would have saved $6 billion, the administration says. Beneficiaries would have saved $1.5 billion in out-of-pocket costs, such as copays. Until the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022, Medicare was banned from bargaining over drug prices. The new prices will take effect in 2026. Sydney Lupkin, NPR News.
Vice President Harris will call for a federal ban on food price gouging in a speech tomorrow in Raleigh, North Carolina, where she intends to lay out her economic policy priorities. Harris' campaign also released her proposals to address the high cost of housing, which will call for 3 million new housing units to be built during her first 4 years in office. The city attorney of San Francisco is suing 16 websites that use AI to make new deepfake photos. Juan Carlos Lara of member station KQED reports.
The websites allow users to upload pictures of people and create new images of those people naked using open source AI models.
This is a big, multifaceted problem that as a society we need to solve as soon as possible. We all need to do our part to crack down on bad actors using AI to exploit and abuse real people, including children.
San Francisco City Attorney David Chu says he hopes to shut these websites down and raise an alarm about the prevalence of these crimes. But he acknowledged that some site owners operate outside of the U.S., and other sites may arise to replace the ones that shut down. For NPR News, I'm Juan Carlos Lara in San Francisco.
On Wall Street, the Dow closed up 554 points today. You're listening to NPR. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says his country's troops continue to make further inroads into Russian territory. Zelensky saying today the troops have now taken full control of the town of Sudsa, though that has not been independently verified. It would be the largest Russian town to fall to Ukraine's forces since the start of the war. so is the administrative center for Russia's Kursk region. Meanwhile, officials in an Eastern European city have, or Eastern Ukrainian city, have warned civilians to evacuate ahead of rapidly advancing Russian troops. Lawmakers are considering a legislation that would require the company that operated the ship that collapsed the Baltimore Bridge to pay for the damage. Scott Moscione of member station WYPR reports.
Representatives John Garamundi and Hank Johnson, two Democrats who sit on the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, want to change a maritime liability law that dates back to 1851. Currently, companies owning cargo ships are only responsible for about $44 million in damages after an accident. The new legislation would make companies owning foreign-flagged vessels liable for up to 10 times the value of the ship and its cargo. That means Grace Ocean Private, the Singapore-based company that owns the Dali, the vessel which crashed into the Key Bridge in March, could be on the hook for up to $854 million. The city of Baltimore is currently suing Grace Ocean for damages and to remove the liability cap. For NPR News, I'm Scott Moscione.
Crude oil futures prices move higher today, rising more than 1.5% to $78.16 a barrel, as fears of a possible U.S. recession and slower global growth ease somewhat. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts. And the Public Welfare Foundation, committed to advancing transformative youth and criminal justice reforms.
Plan to motor west, travel my way, take the highway, that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66. Well, it winds from Chicago to L.A. More than 2,000 miles along the way. Come on and get your kicks on Route 66. You see, it goes through St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, Oklahoma City. She looks mighty pretty. You will see Amarillo, Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona. Don't forget Winona, Kingman, Barstow, San Bernardino. Won't you get hip to this timely tip? When you make your next California trip, come on and get your kicks on Route Missouri, Oklahoma City, she looks mighty pretty. You will see Amarillo, Gallup, 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 New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona, don't forget Winona, Kingman, Bosco, San Bernardino. Won't you get here to this timely trip when you take your next California trip? Come on and get your kicks on Route 66. Come on and get your kicks on Route 66. Come on and get your kicks on Route 66.
The great jazz singer from Kansas City, the late Kevin Mahogany, and what a terrific version of Route 66 here on KPR. It's from his album that came out back in 1995 called You Got What It Takes. James Williams at the piano, Michael Formanek on bass, and Victor Lewis as the drummer. Good evening, I'm Bob McWilliams. Welcome to Jazz in the Night. We're in about 6 minutes. We're going to be hearing 6-7 minutes. We'll hear from trombonist Conrad Herwig in his new album, The Latin Side of McCoy Tyner. We'll get some grooving organ going on right now, though. It's Don Patterson from 1969, his version of Blue and Boogie here on KPR. We'll be right back. talking to Don Patterson on KPR with Blue and Boogie, and with the tenor saxophone from George Coleman and Houston Person, both of whose gentlemen are still going strong and making great music. Frankie Jones, the drummer, Virgil Jones, the trumpeter, organist Don Patterson, originally on an LP called Oh Happy Day, and part of a set that includes two LPs on one CD, the CD called The New York Blues, with trombonist Conrad Herwig. Next, we have music from Brazil from Antonio Adolfo and his new album and his versions of Cole Porter's music. That's coming up in just a few minutes here on Jazz in the Night. Support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from Topeka Zoo's Brew at the Zoo, Saturday, September 14th, featuring beer tastings, live music, games, food trucks, and animal encounters, all supporting the zoo's conservation initiatives. Tickets at topekazoo.org. Conrad Herwig has made a whole series of Latin side albums, the Latin side of John Coltrane, the Latin side of Miles Davis, and so forth. And the latest out this year is called The Latin Side of McCoy Tyner, 10 McCoy Tyner tunes. This is Passion Dance, Latin style, from trombonist Conrad Herwig.
Thank you.